God is good. Amen. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like obeying God, most importantly. You know, it pays to obey. And obedience is certainly better than sacrifice, right? And I'm sure we all have stories that we could sit and tell about times in our life when maybe we weren't obedient, maybe we didn't do the things that we were supposed to. But, you know, God never gives up on us. Amen. He never gives up on us. He has a plan for our lives, and we're just excited about what's going on here at the church, and like this Saturday evening service. Appreciate you guys coming out, and we do believe that it's going to be a draw and target multitudes of people that aren't necessarily in church, you know, and it just enhances what we have on our Sunday morning service as well. But thank you guys definitely for coming out. It's going to be continuing now every Saturday from 6 to 7, so you can spread the word, and I know we're going to have a good time. The worship, and then just a short message, something practical that we could all sink our teeth into. And so tonight is more going to be like an introduction. When I sat and talked with Pastor about doing this service, you know, it was good. God had placed some things on my heart, and you know, my dad, I've always been right alongside with my mom and dad and called to the ministry and support, and still am. And it was just nice having a conversation with my father that he recognizes the same thing, and to have his blessing means everything in the world, you know, as a son and associate pastor. And so I'm blessed to, it's exciting. It's uncharted territory for me, but I've been involved with ministry and in the church for a long time, but there's just some things that God has really placed on my heart. And how many know that life is truly a journey, you know? And you know, sometimes we hit pit stops and some roadblocks, and we take wrong turns. But when I reflect back and I look at my life and where I've been, and the good times, the bad times, the disobedient times, the Eddie wanting to do it his way times, all those are, they're not necessarily setbacks. They were setups to get me to where I am today, you know, and every one of us are in that same kind of boat. And so my heart is to really to share with people the importance of surrendering your heart to God's heart, because God has a plan for your life that if he can unravel it and show it to you, it would blow you away, you know, and for each and every one of us. And I found in my own life that the sooner, and it wasn't soon, believe me, it was a long time of wanting to do things my way, but I found that the finally, you know, when you surrender to God, and that doesn't mean that you're doing things that are necessarily wrong, but let me say this to you. If God is leading you to do certain things and calling you to do things and you're not doing them, that's disobedience. And we don't like to say that as sin, but it is sin. And you know what? God never takes his hand off of us, but sin separates. You know what I mean? God is holy. Sin separates. And thank God for his grace and his mercy, where he doesn't give up on us. You know, but when we surrender our heart, and when I say surrender, I'm talking really every fiber of our being. You know, not just the things, obviously the things that are that we shouldn't be involved in or doing, but just following the plan of God and getting on your knees and saying, God, you know something? I know that you care about my future more than I care about my future. And you know what? The beautiful thing about God is he could see down the road where we can't see. You know, and we tend to rely on our natural abilities and connections and things that we are used to doing. And that traps us from really getting on our knees and surrendering, because it's easy to fall back on what you know. It's kind of scary to go out into uncharted territory, you know? But God wants us to be in uncharted territory. You know why he wants us to be there? Because it takes faith to be there. And the Bible very specifically says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, and so God wants to stretch us. God wants to. So that's my heart, and that's my message, that God has a plan for our lives, and God has a, he wants us to succeed. So over the next couple of weeks, and, you know, like I said, I don't want to talk at these things real long because people, after 20 minutes, don't matter what you're telling them, you know. And I know that's how I am. I was good. The first 20 minutes was awesome. The next 40, you know, you were thinking of something else. But over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to get into what it means. What is success? You know, what is success? The different aspects of success in our life. You know, success as a believer, and people have so many different definitions of success. Some people equate being wealthy with being successful, you know. So there's many, many different aspects, but I want to go over a couple of different things over the next couple of weeks to really get into being, how we can be success in Christ. And not get so much tunnel vision in our life that we're so used to doing things the way we do them that we're not open for any kind of change. You know, we need to live our lives, and I was just sharing this with somebody today, actually, here at the church. I said, you know what? For me, it took hitting my knees. You know something? God is so merciful to us. God closes doors in our lives that need to be closed, and that's his mercy in our life that keeps us from going down a path that we should not embark on. And he closes those kind of doors. And no matter how hard we try to kick them open, no matter how many connections we may have and strings we're going to pull to get what we want, when God has the final word, and when he's going to close the door, he's closing the door. And I'm so thankful that he does that in our lives. And he opens doors that need to be opened, that there's no way we could have done it on our own. But thinking about surrender and thinking about success and what that really entails, our success is directly connected to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other way to find true happiness, to find joy, to find peace, most importantly, to prosper in everything that we put our hand to, unless we're connected to Jesus Christ. You know, and unfortunately, though, we want to look in so many different areas to find that, to fill that, when it's really found in a relationship with God. And when I say relationship with God, our daily bread, you know, waking up every day and spending time with God, in his word, in prayer. And that doesn't mean that challenges aren't going to come your way. They're going to come your way. They're going to come your way whether you spent time in the word or you didn't. You have a better edge when you've spent time in the word when challenges come. God promises us that he will take us through the valley of the shadow of death, and he's with us. So I was saying that we need to get ourselves to the place, and I was sharing with a guy today, that true surrender to God is saying, God, this is what I'm doing right now. But if tomorrow you told me and led me to do this, I'm not so locked into my plan that I miss your plan. And that's hard. That's a real commitment. That's a real commitment. But how many know that God has your best interest at the forefront? You know, he knows. He knows what, see you guys. He knows what we need. He knows that we have bills, that we have families, that we need income, that we need, God knows all those things. But when we put the cart before the horse and we pursue those things to try to set up a secure future for us, there's a verse in Proverbs and it just slipped my mind, but we become our own worst enemy, because God's ways are so much higher than ours. You know, and it comes really from spending time knowing him and in his word. And this is a verse of scripture that, and again, tonight's like an introduction and to let you know some of the things that we are going to be talking about. But I'm really, really excited about presenting these kind of truths that our success, surrender. That's all the word that I always get is surrender. And surrender is not a weak thing. People associate the word surrender with being weak and you know, being knocked down. Let me say something to you. It takes humility to surrender, okay? It takes humility when you're driving down the road to ask for directions. men especially. I don't mind asking. I don't like wasting time being lost, but I don't mind asking. But it takes humility. It takes real humility to surrender. And God, the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace. He gives grace upon grace to those that are humble. You know what? And I don't know about you, but I rely on God's grace in my life on a daily basis. You know what? And it's because of God's grace in my life that I stand where I stand today. You know, but let me say this to you, and I'm certainly smart enough to know that it's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. It isn't a one-time deal. We let our guard down. We have an enemy that wants to wipe us out. He wants to keep us unsuccessful. Okay? So it's a daily thing that we walk with God and that we spend time with him. And when we have his word as our foundation, we can overcome. So these are the things that have been rolling around in my heart. But there's a verse of scripture in Mark chapter, I believe it's Mark chapter 12. You know what? I left my other Bible home that I had it in. Hang on. I know where it is on the page. You know what I'm saying? Hold on, Mark. Come on, Mark. Doesn't look like it's in the same spot. Can you imagine that? Anyway, I'll find it here for a sec. But it's the same thing as Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but the New Living Translation, the way it says it, just totally, like, rocked my whole thinking about how, man, this is really aggravating me that I can't find this. Oh, wait. Don't talk amongst yourselves, okay? I'll be right with you. Oh, gosh. And yeah, I know it's not Matthew 6, though, but it was definitely Mark. What? Maybe. Actually, I don't even know. I think I have it on here. No, it's really good, believe me. I promise you. Let me see. Yeah. if you get around to it, it'll be. Oh wait, let me see. Maybe this is it. Ooh. Mark 10? No. I hope you're going to like it as much as I did. I got it. But you know what? It's really weird. It's in a different spot in this Bible. That's unbelievable. Anyway, the here's the point. The point is this. Now that we spent all that time, I'm sure it is in Mark, but or it might be Luke, actually. I know I was reading Luke, but I was reading Mark prior to that. Yes, I did. I know, but I don't know where. I told you this is definitely going to be laid back. It's fine. Nobody get uptight. It's all good. I really want to find it. I actually want to sit down. I can't, like, go forward, but let me go forward. But it was talking about, in Matthew 6:33 talks about, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But there's a verse of scripture, and I think it is in Luke. Give me that Bible. Actually, I do. It is. I put my, gosh, I'm such a, I actually put a, you open right to it. I put a bookmark in this one. Oh, my gosh. Okay. It's all good. See? Nobody's perfect. Yes, Luke chapter 12. chapter 12. And this is Jesus talking about, teaching about money and possessions. And he was talking to, you know, you start in verse 22, but for time's sake, I'm not going to read all that. You know, he's telling his disciples, you know, don't worry about everyday life. Actually, I'm going to read it. Don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear. For life consists of far more than food and clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. I love the way it says that. We certainly are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And if worry can't do little things like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? He says, you have so little faith. That's what I was saying before. It takes, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And don't worry about food, what to eat and drink. You know, I'm going to just stop right here for 1 second because those are legitimate concerns. I mean, it just sounds like, oh, don't worry about food or drink, but because that's such a broad, but we concern ourselves with providing more than any families. And you know what? God cares about our families more than, and he could provide more than we can ever provide. That doesn't mean throw caution to the wind and do nothing and sit like a monk and pray all day. It means put your hand to the plow and do something, but trust God to make the way. Trust God to do something. When we take on the attitude that we're going to make this happen, that's when things get messed up. That's when we derail and things don't go the way they're supposed to. But God cares about those things. God wants us to make sure that we can provide for our families. He's interested in that. And those are legitimate concerns. And that's why I said in the beginning that, you know, surrender means every area of your life, not necessarily doing bad things, but the Bible says to cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for us. You know, and it's hard to do that when you don't spend time with him because you don't know if he really will, or because you don't trust him because you don't know him enough. But God wants to handle those things in our lives. And there's such a peace that comes with casting your care on the Lord and allowing him to handle your affairs and really trusting him. I mean, you know, I think of Jesse Duplantis, and he talks, and I'm moving real slow right now so my page doesn't turn. So if you're wondering why my neck is fine, it's not like, you know, but I'm like this because I don't want the page to turn. But I'll just do this. So, because now I can move around. Jesse Duplantis, he, like, Lil, right? Don't we pray about everything now? Everything, right? She's like, I'm like, all right, well, let's pray about it. Let's pray. And I mean, I know she's going to get what she asked for because God is good, right? So is mommy and daddy. So, but God always provides. But I'm teaching my daughter faith to trust God. So when she prays about something and she gets it, guess what? She trusts the Lord, right? What God placed upon my heart was to pray about even the smallest things in our life. Get used to asking God. And I mentioned Jesse Duplantis because he prays about everything. Just because he has the money to go out and buy something, he still prays. He's like, if I need something, you as their father, God about it. Because God is our father, and he's in endless supply. And when your kids talk to you as their father about things, what do they get? They get what they ask for 99.9% of the time. Okay? So it's important that we get to the place in our life that we are always asking God, spending time and praying. God wants to work and move on our behalf. But we need to get to that place, and we need to ask him. So don't worry about food, what to eat and drink. Don't worry whether God will provide it for you. These things dominate the thoughts of most people. I'm most people. What about you? Okay. They dominate our thoughts. And if we don't take our thoughts captive sometimes, we can allow that to become a stress thing in our life and wonder and wonder and how and how. Don't worry how. That's not our job. We're just an employee. That's the employer's responsibility, right? We're just an employee. That's it. All we concern ourselves about is did the direct deposit go into my account, That's it. God directly deposits into our account all the time, on time. We don't have to worry about it. We're his employee. That's it. So we got to keep that dynamic in the right place. We're not to take over and want to call the shots. The employer calls the shots. So these things dominate the thoughts of most people, but your Father already knows your needs. You understand that? God knows what we need. He knows the things that we need. Not the things that we want, the things that we need. Because there's a difference between wants and needs. But God wants to bless us beyond what we can ever think of. But God, I don't know about you, but I this just blesses me when I think about this. And I because it makes it so easy to go through life surrendered to God. There's peace that just comes over you, knowing that everything's going to be okay. And it allows you to follow God's plan for your life. It does. So he already knows your needs. He will give you, listen to this, this is the verses right here. I said all that to get here. He will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Let me say that again. God will give you everything you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. And that sounds just so simple in theory, but putting that into practice takes surrender, it takes commitment. And when we are concerned with our employer's business, he'll make sure that our day-to-day needs are met. You know, I find it very interesting how, you know, we have Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. Back when, in Bible times, when the Israelites were going through the desert, you know, God led them by a pillar of cloud during the day and fire by night. And God provided for them. Their shoes grew with them on their feet. Miraculous things God did for them. But what I find was very interesting is that God provided manna and quail for them, but just a day's supply. Like, we would, and I know me, I would have been building something and figuring out a way to store it and make sure I have it. That would have been me. But no matter, if they tried to store more food, it all rotted. It rotted. They had their daily bread. God will provide, God will give you grace for today. And he was going to give you new grace for tomorrow. So we don't need to worry about tomorrow. Let's work in today, in the present, because the past is the past. The future hasn't happened yet, but the present is a gift. That's what we have right now. So let's stay in his grace and allow his grace on a daily basis to be more than all we need. And then tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, God knows the needs that you're going to have. And he's going to give you the same grace for that. If you make his kingdom your primary concern. And that's a big if. That's a big if. It has nothing, listen to me, it has nothing to do with God wanting or being able to or holding back, nothing. It's not on God's end at all. It's on our end. If we're not making the kingdom of God our primary concern, then we cannot claim these full. They're conditions, guys. You know, it's just God is fair. He's faithful. He honors his contract. He's better than State Farm is, or whatever that commercial. They sing the song and the insurance guy pops up. You know, he's better than that. He's better than that. He is honors his word. But you know what? There's a community that we all live in that there are multitudes of people that have no idea about the goodness of God. They really don't. In fact, their image of God is one of someone who wants to just knock them down. They're not worthy, all those kind of things. Someone who just wants to send them to hell. It's our job. It's our job. That, in and of itself, is the primary concern. That's God's kingdom. That's his primary concern, people. And you know what? If we get ourselves so busy and concerned about people and about what God is interested in, then our everyday needs are always, always, always going to be met. And you know what? Those are some just tidbits. Now I'm going to get into a lot of detail on the different aspects and how we could get there and give you an idea of just a lot of interesting stuff. But this was just to whet your appetite a little bit and give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about, because that's what the world needs. The world needs a relationship with God. Everybody's looking for success, and we're looking in the wrong places, you know? It's like the old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, God, listen, I was taking a shower tonight, and I always tell you, God always talks to me in the shower, because it's like the only time that it's quiet where there's not a lot of other distractions going on. So, but I said, Lord, tonight I just want to be a tool. I'm like, what a tool. You're a tool. I'm like, God, I just want to be a tool for you. And I'm serious. I was going to get shirts. I had this whole crazy ideas. But anyway, but we need to be a tool in the master craftsman's hand. That's all I want to be. I want to be, he's the master craftsman. I want to be a tool. I want to be an instrument, okay, that God can use to do his handiwork. And tonight, that was my, I said, Lord, I don't want people to see me. I want them to see you, God. I want to speak the words that you want spoke to. Just your tool. That's it. I'm going to make a shirt like that. God, I'm your tool. All right? And you guys probably wouldn't wear that shirt. I don't think I will either, but I just thought about it anyway. But if someone makes one now and that's like becomes, I'm going to be really upset. So, but I want to be a tool in his hand is what I'm saying. All right? Because God is the master craftsman. He has a specific plan for our lives. God, and what I want us all to, over the next couple, I didn't put my phone on silence, over the next couple of weeks is to begin to get our place, ourselves to a place of surrender in our lives and really give our heart. You know, I know everybody in here, not just about. I know everybody in here, and I know everybody in here's a Christian. And I was a Christian for, gosh, a long time, over 30-something years. But, you know, there still comes a place in a believer's life that it was me. I'll just tell you, it was me. I surrendered, but I kept one foot on the just-in-case rail. You know, anybody know what the just-in-case rail is? God, I believe you, but just in case. That's nonsense. There is no plan B with God. You're all in or you're all out. And it's, think about what happens when it starts splitting and you got one foot on this rail and you got one, and believe me, it's going to go that way. What happens to you? I'm not going down any further than this, but you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to rip your pants, and you're going to rip a bunch of other stuff. And it tears us apart. We need to be all in with God. We need to trust him with all of our heart. And so that's what surrender is. Those are some of the things that we're going to get to. And as believers that have been coming to church, there's always areas that we can make better in our life. I'm not here to judge anybody. I got to look at myself in the mirror, and I know there's areas in my own life that I need to make better every day. And let me tell you something. I strive to make them better, because when you surrender, there's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no hiding. God, here I am. Here I am. If I messed up, I'm sorry. Why do you think David was considered a man after God's own heart? And he messed up. But you know what? As much as he messed up, he was just as quick to hit his knees and say, God, forgive me. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. And you know what? That's what God's looking at. That's what God is looking for. And that's the only way that we will achieve the success that I'm talking about and walk in the fullness that God has for our lives. Amen? So I'm glad you guys came out. I hope you come again next Saturday. And look, it's 7 o'clock. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I didn't think I'd get it done, but we're going to close with a song. And again, this is definitely different than a Sunday service, you know, and obviously it's definitely different. But even the way we're going to do the offering, don't worry, I didn't forget about the offering, but I just felt in our closing song, we're going to pass the offering baskets around. And if you know, here, this is the mission. I said it on Sunday, that when you believe in a mission, when you believe in the work, it's easy to give to that. It's easy to give to that. And if you've been blessed by being here tonight and the word is ministered to your heart, then we're asking that you help support this mission and support the work that we're doing here so that we could continue spreading the good news and God's love to a generation and to a world and to friends and neighborhoods that desperately, desperately need it. So that's how we're going to receive our offerings on Saturdays, and until the Lord tells me different, I just think that that's a good way. And I appreciate everybody who's here, and I certainly appreciate being part and committed to supporting the work that we're doing here at Abundant Grace Church and continuing to reach the world with the gospel. Amen? Amen. I'll pray over the offering, and then we'll sing the song, and you can pass the baskets. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you're so good to us. You're such a real, real loving Father. God, you're so special. You're so real. I would not know what to do being separated from you, Father. I'm so grateful for your mercy and your grace in my life, Lord God. I thank you that you do supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Father, you are an endless supply, an endless source of every good and perfect gift, Lord, everything that we need. And Father, it is our desire, and we commit to making your kingdom our primary concern. And Father, as we do that, we know that lives are going to be changed. Father, that the church will be added to. Churches aren't buildings. Church is people, Father. And as people come to know you, the church grows. Father, and I thank you for the future that you have planned for us. I thank you that your will shall be accomplished in this church, this ministry, and in each and every individual who's here today and in their life, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.